Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Yeah, no, I think that...
They're not going to want me.
I think the fact that we've normalized, or in the church when we were there, we normalized the idea that... it was so important that you got this right. Mm-hmm. It's like how, I don't even know, you know, in biblical times, there was none of this. There was the families picked out who was going to get married with each other. And it was like, it was less about, you know, it was more business transactional than what we've made it into. And the weight, I can't imagine the weight of feeling, wait, I got to pick out the person that I'm going to live the rest of my life, and I have to have enough wisdom where I'm at in life to be able to suss through this person mm-hmm. and figure out if he's going to be the best person for me in 50 years. Like, how is that even remotely close to possible?
And how is that even remotely close to healthy relationships?
Yeah.
Like, it's not remotely close to healthy relationships. I'm supposed to pick someone for me. Who is me?
Exactly.
I don't even know, like, who, I don't know who this
and
is.
The and understanding that you in 10 years is not going to be the same you.
But that's why I think there's a lot of encouragement to not change. There's a lot of encouragement within religious structures to stay the same. And that's why as the world evolves and changes, they see evolution and they see change and they see the broadening scope of knowledge. Everything is a threat because people are changing, because no, you're supposed to be this thing and be this thing only for all of eternity, mm-hmm. which is like not biblical. Like, it's just like, it's not possible, and it's not real, and it's not what any of us are called to do. And so I feel like beyond a horrible boyfriend wasting my time or a crazy fiance wasting my time, these toxic ideals have wasted my time. My 20s were wasted because I lived in constant fear that I was doing it wrong, and then therefore my punishment, because if the reward for God saying you're doing a good job is a husband, then the fact that I don't have one must be my punishment. So I'm doing things wrong because now I'm being punished. Okay. I'm not a virgin before I get married. Well, that's why I'm 36 and I'm still alone, because right. God's like, you didn't steward your purity well.
You didn't steward your snatch in the right way.
If I can't trust you with purity, how am I going to trust you with being a wife and a mother? How am I going to trust you with that? So, like, these are the things that I'm trying to, like, tear down. And I didn't enjoy dating. And I spent, and even when I did have boyfriends and I was in relationships, I spent every day in some cloud of guilt, feeling like existing in it was wrong, feeling like everything I did was wrong constantly all the time, because shame is just like, it's like the cocaine cloud that you walk through as soon as you enter into a church space. So while, there's an element of, there's a lot of good that definitely can come from the church. Like, I think the church just needs to start recognizing all the ways though that like they are stifling and prohibiting us from like growing into whole people, whole healthy people that are going to look differently, that are going to look at the same thing, but have many different interpretations. And it doesn't mean that all are wrong or all are right, or any are right or any are wrong. It's just called being human.
Yeah. That's what I was hoping you would get to, the human, because the human word is, that's it. Like, we've done a shitty job at teaching people how to be human. And a great job at teaching people how to be a mirage of who Jesus is or was, because 9 times out of 10, it doesn't look like the same Jesus how we've been acting out this modern day especially westernized church, you know, it doesn't look like it at all. And I was listening to Roar again, and you know, me and B are big Roar fans. And when he did the tricycle analogy of what is more important in life, was it tradition, scripture, or experience?
Yeah.
He puts experience as the big wheel in the front.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you're lying to yourself if you do not think that your human experiences is the main factor of how you determine scripture and traditions that you choose to follow. Your experience, and when I thought about it, I was like, man, he's so right. 99.9% of the time, your belief in who God is going to be based in the culture and the experience that you have as a human being. So if you're in Africa, it's going to be different than if you're an American. It's going to be completely different. And it is the main factor. It is definitely the driving force of how you see yourself, God, and your ability to exist in especially in relationships and love. I mean, we created romance. Our movies, Hollywood, created romance. That's, before then, marriage was not this thing. And now you got a world of people that are like, am I called to be with him? Is he doing this for me?
Dating is not in history or
it's
in the
not,
Bible.
It's, like, not, it's not biblical. Dating is not biblical. And honestly, I now no longer engage in conversations when people want to talk to me about biblical marriage. I was like, because biblical marriage says that when I was 12, the second I started menstruating, I would have been sold to a 40-year-old man.
Yeah.
Sick.
Like, that's biblical marriage.
Who was able to screw around in his younger years.
Who was able to do whatever he wanted. I didn't get to grow up. I didn't get to grow up, and now I'm a breeding factory because I'm just about legacy.
It's either 12 or 38. That's great.
But we've even romanticized the stories in the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, story of Esther.
Esther is so romanticized. It's
the amount of conferences, ministries that have been birthed out of the story in this weird interpretation of what actually happened. Go read that story.
Read the story.
And you're just like, holy shit, this is crazy.
I literally, I kid you not, be like 2 months ago, I got into a little bit of a heated debate. You've been in debates with me.
Yeah. Talk them in.
A little bit of like,
Never Manny.
Yeah, with someone from, you know, from my church, because they were like, oh, I just see you as an Esther. You're just like,
night with the king,
such
baby
a
girl.
Woman of influence.
I had a sermon about Esther, but it's fine.
And I literally said, I have to stop you because I don't receive that. Yeah. I actually don't receive that I'm an Esther. And she's like, oh my God, she's such a woman of influence. I was like, was she a woman who against her will was married off with hundreds of other women to a greedy king who just was like, I just want you here in case I want to play with you at some point.
I'm here for a good time.
Was ripped away for a good time. And then was like ripped away from her family and her traditions, but then told to pretend that she wasn't from the very people that he was currently on a daily base torturing and persecuting. And then, you know, like having to lay down with him and being that whole idea of being chosen, right? Like, and this is what is so dangerous about the idea of being chosen, because we want to look at Esther like she was anointed because the king chose her. I will sleep with her tonight. That is the one. Literally, God just used a really shitty situation and was like, well, I guess if he chose you, then I'm like, and not saying God was not intentional. I'm being very like loose with how God operates. But like, you know, it wasn't a romantic situation. This was not a king who loved her, who cared for her, who took like her life was at risk every single day. If anyone in that palace ever knew who she really, really was and where she came from, she would be dead. She would literally be dead, and literally her body, she had to use her body as a source of protection, which is like to this day in 2022, how many women will lay down with men just because that feels easier than what could be on the other side of this, of rejecting you, of what could be on the other side of this situation. So dang. My body is my shield.
Preach.
You're taking so much from me, but it's my shield. It's how I'm protecting myself. And it was no different.
Yeah.
Than in
Willie Matt.
Story.
Willie Matt is coming through with the hallelujah.
It's no different than in that story. So no, I am not Esther. I am not a woman who is trapped in a horrible situation, who has no choice, who cannot operate fully as myself. I can't be authentic. I can't be proud of who I am, where I come from, and my traditions. But then, I guess on a good day when you want to sleep with me, when you're falling asleep, I could be like, hey, so do you kind of want to like not kill all my people today? So your homie over there, he's trying to wipe out like everyone I love.
He's eradicating my loved ones.
Like all my, so now that we've already had sex, because you kind of aren't going to want people to know this, I'm one of them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Let me catch you post nut.
Exactly. let me leverage this nut right
he's
now.
He's like, cool, whatever. Let's just cuddle.
Right.
Oh my god.
Save my people for a lifetime.
But
of
sure. Yeah. Woman, I am a nester, woman the of amount, influence.
Yeah.
The amount of.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, if anything, this is very short. Like, if anything, you read that story, it's not supposed to glamorize or romanticize the position she was in. Mm-hmm. If anything, it's trying to expose how corrupt and how nasty the permeating culture was at that time. Mm-hmm. And it's trying to say, obviously, this should look like a not good situation. This is actually really bad. And in the midst of a really bad situation, going back to what Paige just said, God can still have his way and he can still make something out of it that actually still helps people.
Yeah.
But again, that's the story's not to be. Dang. And it's funny because you watch like, hey, I remember watching all those Christian movies, hella corny, right?
Oh. VeggieTales, right?
No. Oh. VeggieTales is still
no,
the goat.
These are
VeggieTales
the
is not corny. Cool, all right. Cool. VeggieTales still
these are
slaps.
The ones starring Kirk Cameron.
Yeah.
Just one, what, insert
was,
whatever title.
There was one that was
Kirk
called
Left
one,
Behind.
One Night with the King.
One Night with the King.
Oh,
yes,
yeah,
I've
heard about that.
Ugh.
And they were like super authentic because they named her like Hadassah or whatever her actual name was,
and
like in Hebrew.
Like, yes, Esther.
This is why
God's
I love. This is why I love this podcast though, because as a preacher, and I'm like, damn it, I can't preach that sermon anymore. I'm like,
you know the truth.
Oh,
but I think it's that you can. And I actually just told someone this today. I said, they asked me specifically, like, what do you want from the church? And my answer actually, well, the question was, what do you need from the church? And then what do you want? Mm. And I said, it's interesting. I can run off a bunch of needs I have, but I actually don't have a want, because when you've existed in a relationship where your needs have consistently not been met and ignored, I no longer want anything from you.
Yeah.
I don't want anything from you. And so if you're not going to operate honestly, if you're not going to stand on the pulpit and tell the real story of Esther, I don't.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
This is why I like going to Willie Matt's church so much, because I always feel like it's very much in line with how we are speaking and viewing the world right now. And honestly, before going there, I didn't think there was a church around that was like that. Mm. I love Torrey. Torrey's another close friend of ours. But this was the first time where it was almost unapologetic, to where it's like, I'm not afraid of losing members, because every member in there thinks the way we're thinking, mm-hmm. or is starving for the way that this is being presented.
Wow. Yeah. Sorry. Wow. What input, Elise?
So many
sorry.
Things.
Sorry. I don't know. My brain.
But I understood you.
Do you
I was
understand
like,
me?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. I need to do more podcasts with Paige, to be honest. You want to start a podcast?
Let's do it.
Like, this is such a rich conversation, because it is, you can't just have a conversation about, so late 30s, do we settle or do we freeze our eggs without going into things like the ideology of growing up in church and hearing stories like Esther, coupled with a time when Disney was like Disney, and like I grew up on Disney princesses. And mm-hmm. so for me, I like that we're talking about the church thing, because that needs to be, especially again as a PK, but like also growing up where I grew up and just like loving Hollywood movies. We have movies now which are awesome and women empowering and like getting married and having kids later in life. Like that's happening now in a lot of other ways, like with diversity and different people's stories and representation, all that kind of stuff. We didn't have that when I was growing up. So to me, love looked like Hilary Duff in a Cinderella story and she found her guy, and it looked like Amanda Bynes in What a Girl Wants. Like, I'm meant to just be able to like walk into the castle in England and like he's right there. Like, so what it set me up for was not realistic. So what I thought was, oh, this isn't my person. Instead of, I may need to be flexible with some things in my life, or he's not going to know what I think without me telling him. Weird. Like, literally, it came down to that. So for me, my learning curve was nothing, hella steep. Like, just like a freaking rocket ship in terms of learning, oh, that's a relationship. And so for me, being like, when I was growing up, my mom, I knew in my head my mom had kids later in life, like, and I'm the youngest of three. And I asked her the other day, I was like, Mom, like, well, how old, in your 40s when you had me? No, I think she was my age. Now when she had me, the youngest, I was like, sick, dope. But like, I think it's now, it's not just that it's becoming acceptable, but like, freeze your eggs if you want just to be a mom. I desire family. Mm. I don't know if you were at the start talking about me when you're talking about the people you got sad about when they were like,
no,
just messing around. Cool. Love it. No. Thank you. Thank you so much. Just checking. But like, I really want a husband, and I really like, I have dreamed about being a husband, being a wife more than I've dreamed about being a mom, just to be honest. It's only been in the last year or so for me, very recent, where I'm like, oh, ovaries, I really want to be a mom. Like, I see kids and I'm like, I really want that. And like, a desire is growing and growing and growing. I've always had the desire to be a wife. And so like, for Katie, my best friend, that's reverse. Like, she's always been wanting to be a mom so bad. And lately she's like, yeah, I'd be a wife. That sounds fun. Like, she's met an amazing guy. And so I just wonder, like, for some people that just happens later in life, or there is just different timelines because we're human and because we're all
and
different.
It's not because you did something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
it's not because you did something wrong. And it's interesting you're talking about that, because I've always wanted to have a family. I've always wanted to be married, and I want to be a mom. Like, I've always known that. But I think as I've gotten older, I've also realized, like, I still want to be a mom. So like, hear my heart, but I have actually less of a desire for children because now I'm so actually more so desiring. Like, I want to be a wife, but I want healthy partnership.
Yeah. Yes.
I want like healthy partnership. And the idea of motherhood existing outside of healthy partnership is not.
Yeah, I agree.
Attractive to me.
I agree.
So I don't want to just be a wife and a mom, which I think is what you're saying. Like, I don't want to just be a wife and a mom, which is why when we were eating, I was like, you know, it does that, because it's kind of like, all right, I'm 36. So I guess in the next like 3 years, I ask myself the question, like, based on where I'm at, who I'm with, like, do I freeze my eggs? Do I do this on my own?
Right.
But then I'm like, it's not just about having kids. Like, I want a family unit.
It's the partnership.
But then it's also not just about the family unit. Yes. It's about the healthy family. And so there's like all these different layers. And then realizing, oh, okay, I'm having to learn and come to terms with the fact that, like, it's not a form of settling for less if at the end of my life, what I ended up choosing, in the event those things don't present themselves to me, is to live a happy, whole,
healthy
life
relationships.
Yes.
With healthy relationships that may not ever manifest into a husband, but they manifest in my friendships.
There you go.
They manifest in, you know, and I'll be the first person to say, like, I hate when married people tell me, like, they have so many friends.
Bye. Stop, y'all.
Do we do things that you do with your spouse? No, we don't. Like, it's not the same. But I also now don't like completely devalue the people who love me. Like earlier when you were saying, I'm surrounded by so much love.
Yeah.
I've come to appreciate that so much more in the last couple years, and not look at it as like, this love doesn't count.
Yeah.
Until I have this.
Do you think some of that was because of the broken engagement? It actually forced you to be like, well, not forced you, but like through that. Because for me, through my divorce, I had never been grateful or intentional about my friendships. And I thought I had. I thought I was. I liked being around cool people, like, and feeling cool. Probably where the chosen thing came from, to be honest, but that's fine. Like, now more than ever, I would say, in the last 2-3 years, I'd say, of crap, I can choose family. And seeing as my family, literal family, are in Australia, and seeing as I thought I had family and that ended in a divorce, I'm going to choose my people that I'm surrounded. Do you think that your experience of being in an, I guess it, from what I'm hearing, it wasn't unhealthy that you thought at the time.
You can say it.
Sure.
Say it.
But like, you not knowing that he was like clearly a psycho.
Yeah.
Has that had something to do with your intentionality and valuing of your healthy relationships?
Everything to do with it. Because prior to that, like, I've always had great people in my life. However, something within me, like me never quite feeling like I'm ever enough, has caused me to constantly.
Oh my God, same.
Yeah, constantly question if I can't hold value in myself, I obviously don't think I hold value in the spaces and the places, the people's lives I'm a part of. And so even though someone, like, okay, I know known you for like 15 years and like, I know he loves me to death, but does he love me? Like literally that's how my brain goes. Oh, I know Manny loves me. But does he? You know, like, and that's how
I know.
That's how I operate with all of my friends. Like, I know this person. Like, yeah, no, this is like this is my best friend. But like, if I was gone tomorrow, would it like really even matter? Like, I was like, it's in it's like some of the darkest points of my depression. I'm the person going like, if I die, does anyone even come to my funeral? Like, literally, like my brain.
Everyone has this spiral though.
It spirals. And so, but when this happened, the way the people in my life without, because I didn't have the strength. I did not have the capacity to show up for myself, to really exist. And because this also happened, my engagement blew up at the same time my dad had a really severe stroke. And so we thought he was dying. So I was like, I completely just was like, not okay. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get out of bed, couldn't function, anything. And it was like, without asking, without prompting, these people in my life, mm-hmm. especially women, just like rallied around me and held me
like
so
maternal and
tightly.
Like, mm-hmm.
One of my best friends every day for 6 months drove from Gardena. How many of you live in LA? Drove from Gardena
every day six
to
months.
Chatsworth every day for 6 months to just sit with me. Whether I could talk, like she would just occasionally try to make sure I ate something. Make sure I like had a sip of water and just sat with me. Literally just sat with me so much so that like we now it's not every day, but we continue like once a week, like, or we try at least once every week or so to like, she comes to my house, I go to her house, we make it a sleepover. But the way like,
wow,
I was just so enveloped in love, and the way that juxtaposed against how like this love that I thought I had just so violently left my life. Yes. And then like, here's all this love coming in and filling in that gap. I felt like, oh shit, people love me. Like, and I feel like I could not say that confidently before that moment. And now I'm just so sure like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I'm loved.
What have you concluded like with the kids and marriage and family stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a conclusion.
Is there?
Yes.
It's a time thing. It's a time thing. It's obviously it's going to be different if in 2 weeks she hits us up like, holy crap.
Found him.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I think what I can say is it's what I just said. It's realizing that I don't just desire a husband. Mm-hmm. I don't just desire
the
to
real
be a
healthy
mom.
Relationship.
I desire like a healthy relationship. I desire a partnership. I have zero desire to be with a person who feels like, you're my wife. Submit to me. Make me a sandwich and scratch my back. Why don't women follow anymore? Because you've been leading us into darkness. That's why. That's why. So if you have nothing worth following, I'm not going to just follow you blindly into chaos. Like, yeah. I'm not doing that anymore. You men are so concerned about when women being able to submit. What am I submitting to?
No, and this
men are
is
supposed
necessary.
To be providers. You don't have a job. What? Like, it's just all these things. So I'm realizing now, I think, and again, a major thing that has shifted in me is being able to formulate and then assert what I need and what I want from the backdrop of myself, not someone else. Like, every relationship I've ever been in, even my engagement, I felt like he, which I now know was love bombing, but he was just like so in love so fast. And if I look back, I'm like, maybe I don't think I actually was at that level with him when he was there. But oh my God, I've just wanted to be loved for so long and someone's loving me. Don't do that thing, Paige, where you just wanted a good guy who's going to love you. And then here he is. And now you're like, I don't want him. Like, you know, like how you. So I'm like doing all these mind tricks with myself.
I get you.
If he's saying we're here, then okay, I'll show up. Because usually guys are telling me, let's keep it cash. Like, we don't have to put anything. We don't we don't need labels. Yeah. And he's like, oh my God, you're my wife. Which now I look back and I'm like, Calm down. And so I've moved at the pace of the man at all times, whether he wants to go super fast and we're so in love or he's like, let's keep it cash and just go with the flow. I'm always going off of what they need. I'll know what I need. But like if what I need conflicts or contradicts their need, then mine gets put to the wayside. And so I think a huge thing for me now is I don't do that anymore. Like, I decide, like, it's, and when you're no longer trying to be chosen, then it's not about like, oh my God, does he like me? Like, did he think I was pretty? Did I talk too much? Did I do this? I walk away and I go, did I even like him? Like, he thought he was funny, but he really wasn't. And like, I didn't like, you know, and so everything is from a, like, in a healthy, selfish way, me, from a me frame point.
It feels like a, from a power position.
It is a
power. And not like a power position, like in a negative, like archetypal sense.
No, power, but it's position. Empowerment.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think anything when you operate from like, when you operate from your authentic whole self, like that is empowering. And every decision, whether it's a relationship or in your business or whatever, like is affected from that. So for me now it's like, if you are not, I say this to my friends all the time now, if someone is not, if a man is not going to come into my life and elevate it, goodbye. Why are you here? You're wasting my time.
Yeah.
Like, you have to add to my life. I'm no longer even accepting like come and keep it the same, because I can do that on my own.
Yeah.
I can keep my life here. What are you, how are you elevating? Mm. What are you bringing to my life?
Dang. Yeah.
And if you, what you're bringing is chaos and confusion and I no longer feel empowered, but I feel insecure or I feel like I need to hurry something up, like that's not healthy. Mm-hmm. That is not healthy for me. So I would much rather like be, you know, quote unquote, by myself for the rest of my life without the husband, without the kids, as much as yes, and that would be hard. Mm-hmm. I would much rather have that than be in something unhealthy where I'm not happy and I don't get to be myself, where his needs are met daily and my needs don't even exist. They're not even on the table. Like, I have no interest in that.
Right.
It's not something that I'm seeking. It's not something that I want. And I think that is even empowered, because we also have to stop treating women like being single is like an insult. Yeah, if you don't change this, you're going to be alone forever. Oh no, I'm going to have peace for the rest of my life.
I'm going to know the environment I'm walking into in my home.
I'm going to have joy. What? Oh my God. It's so scary. Yeah, no.
That's peace in my environment. No, I agree. I mean, look, I think one of the biggest things that you guys have pointed out that I feel has stuck with me, one of the most important messages is the releasing of the shame and the disappointment that comes along with beautifully growing older and maybe not having it all figured out, or have maybe made a couple of years mistake where it's like, I could have did that one better, but not letting that hang over the you now and blaming where you're at because of that.
Yeah.
I think it's important for women especially to hear it, is to let go of the shame and the disappointment. And truly, yeah, embrace. I mean, I know there will probably be people that hear it that they still feel like this is all I want. And until I achieve this, I'm never going to feel satisfied because they just feel like this is what they were made to do. And for that, I for sure hold space and have grace, because definitely don't want to like act like it's not awesome to be with other people. But I do think that if you can release the shame and the guilt and the disappointment of it not happening in your timeline, I think that would at least prepare you mentally to enter into a new situation.
Yeah.
And for those people who say, this is all I want, that's why realizing multiple things can be true at the same time is so important, because I am still one of those people. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a deep yearning and desire. Like, I want a family. I get big mad at God when I'm like, this ain't cool. I don't like how you're playing this. I don't like how you're playing these cards. And so I'm like, I'm not a fan.
You shuffle the deck one too many times, sir.
Just like draw from the bottom. Like, that's what I feel like is happening. But I am still one of those people. And I think to what you're saying, when you release an element of like shame and desperation or like a sense of like, it's not happening because I'm failing in some way as a woman or as a human or whatever the case may be, then you can say like, I really, really, really want this. And because I want this so much and I cherish it so much, I don't want to desecrate it and disrespect it by getting in something that's going to be shitty.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And it's that like, part of it is also the, what are you willing to give up? I feel like even maybe just for me, of like, if that was something where I was like, my sole purpose in life, if I felt like that is to be a mom, I don't have other aspirations in terms of career or whatever, like maybe I wasn't just wired that way, like because I have friends like that. I'm like, okay, well then let's look at your list. And they always have one. But like, because some of that stuff has been like, okay, well, if this is what you feel like, we can't have it all, keep it all. I know that the world says that, but like what something I'm realizing lately is that I've also been really good at pushing people away by a standard that I didn't even adhere to. So it's like, well, if a man is going to convince me that he's worth being with me, then he needs to all of these things that honestly, when we did a podcast on this the other day about like, do I really want to be the boss, or like, do I maybe want to be a bit more traditional? It turns out I want to be a bit more traditional than I thought. Don't take my voice. Don't take my job. Don't take all the things that I love to do. But also, I also was really nice too when they're nice and look after me. And
no, you don't have to whisper it. Say it proudly, because as
it's just, like, it's a new thing that it's very new that
it's
I'm like,
very new for me
wow.
too. Because I've always been like, I'm independent. I can take care
especially
of myself.
Especially if you've been screwed over, then mm-hmm. it becomes about no
one. We talked about this too. Yeah. Like, but, peace, independence
you,
card.
Right. And even if you haven't been screwed over, I think, I mean, you just have to. We're sure. adults. We have to survive.
You've gone through
enough of life. I'm 36
years old. You've had to figure it out.
I have to take care of myself. I don't have someone taking care of me. So I do that for myself. And it just so happens that I get a lot of fulfillment. Like, that's how I'm wired. Totally. Like, I love operating in my purpose and feeling like I'm being productive. I do love those things. And as I told him yeah. recently, I am so over being independent from a standpoint of where the world is on my shoulders.
Yes.
Like, because so as women, good. The standard is we have to be all things at all times to everyone. Everybody.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want to do that anymore. I actually want to come home, kick my shoes off and say, scratch my back, make me lunch because mm-hmm. I'm tired. Yeah.
Agreed.
That's the
I'm tired. I want, and I think that's what like partnership
that's
is.
Partnership.
That's, like,
that's it. Cause like I was telling somebody today, I was like, listen, I agree wholeheartedly with when the Buddhists say life is a form of suffering. Mm. And choosing someone you want to be with is essentially choosing the person you want to suffer in this life with.
Mm.
And suffering alone and suffering with someone are two drastic experiences.
Wow.
And that's what that independence is saying is like, I don't want to just suffer by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am going to say that to people and take full credit.
Take it.
That, thank you.
It's yours. It's yours.
And I yeah. think that's beautiful to come to that realization because when we had that conversation, I was telling her, I was like, man, I there is a part of me that gets upset when the idea of what it means to be independent gets hijacked and then creates this narrative to which I don't think men or women can uphold yeah. all the time. Like this,
no one's meant to
I don't
do
need
that.
Anyone. I could do it myself. Da, 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 da. When it's like, no, I can always tell the maturity level of someone when they talk like that, because I'm like, it's more accurate to say, if I had to,
I can do it.
I can do all this.
Yeah.
Like if no
That's
one was around, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to starve. Mm. I'm not going to end up on the street. I'll be okay. But I'd much rather do this in a partnership. Yeah. Like I'd much rather, could I carry all my bags? 100% been doing it for the last 15 years. But would I love for you to do it for me? Yeah, that would be sweet. Just yeah. because I hate carrying my bags.
Well, we talked about this because it's like you also too, that kind of like toughness is not, you know how people have like hype men? It's almost like sometimes you have to, like I have to hype myself up to keep suffering alone. Like, because it's like, you know, and I think this is a whole nother conversation, but I think sometimes too, like within the church, this whole, there's like a toxicity, there's like a hope toxicity, I think that exists where it's like,
oh no.
I no mm-hmm. longer allow people to say to me, I just know for a fact you will be yeah. married. Do you? What mm-hmm. did God say? Verbatim, tell me, what did he say to you? Like, where is he? What's his name? What does he look like? What's he doing at this? Like, you don't know that for a fact. And so I think sometimes, I think there's a difference between, there's hope is beautiful. But when you start adding this layer to it, where like,
oh,
exist
so
as
good.
If this is already the thing. When like you, if you're not living in this space, like you don't know what it's like to suffer alone. Like, and that's why I think single people get really lost in the church. And when I yeah. say single, I don't mean single and in college, but like at my age, because you have someone at the pulpit who was married at 19 telling me how I need to be living my life as a full ass grown up. Like, you never did that. You never did that. And so to suffer alone, like, sometimes I need to be like, I got it. Like, I got it. I can do this. I can do, like, I don't need help. I don't need this. And it's like, no, is that always like the healthiest? Do I need to exist there at all times? No, but sometimes it actually requires it.
Yes.
Because like there, when you are suffering alone, I think what I yearn for a lot of times in partnership is like, I just want a safe space for my softness. But when you're suffering alone, there's not always space for your softness. Cause like, I have to hold it, because if it all comes tumbling down, like, who's catching it?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's, like, who's going to handle this? Who's going to be like, don't worry, take a breath. I got you. I don't have that.
Which was an amazing part of the conversation that I thought was so deep, because it was like, damn, it is very much true. And it also helped me, you know, how I viewed other certain people in my life, because it gave me understanding.
Not
of like,
me, for the record.
No, because you still have a measure of softness. Like, it's not like, I think it's different because you're kind of ingrained that way because of how you grew up. But there are people who were not permitted to be soft because, again, their life experience robbed them of that. So when you do have to maintain a level of hardness or just a level of independence in order to just exist, because that is, there's no other option for that. It is hard to then judge someone or be disappointed with someone that they come to the relationship with that hardness. The hope is that your love or the way you treat them, more so respect them and make space for them to be soft, would then melt the years of having to be that way.
And that's what's
But I think the only way that happens, if there is, especially with women, if there is a safe place to be this and not be judged, not be ridiculed, not be made to feel weaker, or in any
and
shape or form.
And be allowed to be on that journey of understanding that a melting season is going to be like, that's going to take a second. I can't just come to you and be this soft, trusting, submissive, all the other words, human, when life has taught me that when I did that last time, I got screwed over.
Right.
And so I really want, and I'm currently in this like right now of like, I really want to get there. But I like that you just put some words to it for me that I can now go back. If you're listening, babe, get ready for a conversation. But like, that's the thing of like, I want to be that person, but I can't be that authentically until that has been given time for me to be safe enough to trust that. If God doesn't expect me to like come to him, fine. And we keep preaching, come to God as you are. He can take you on the journey. But we don't allow people to do that in relationships after they've been hurt, especially women after they've been burnt. And it's like, I actually don't want to be this hard shell all the time. And thank you for saying that. I have worked really hard to maintain and bring back some softness as well. But there still are moments that it's hard for me sometimes to switch between, all right, I've got to go and preach over here, or like do this call, or like go be a boss or whatever, and then also come to dinner or see my boyfriend and like be soft. Sometimes that takes a second for me to transition, and I want it to be a more fluid transition, but it just takes time. And I just think sometimes guys aren't as patient as they're asking us to be, because we all have flaws. We all are not going to get a perfect person, obviously, but it's like, can you be patient with the things that we're on the journey with? And for women, a lot of the time, especially when we've done a lot of life single or single again, we've had to learn to have a hard exterior. Like, what do they say? Like, soft heart, strong back. I don't know. I think I made it up.
My dad used to always say,
Paige,
you can use that.
You can use that if you want.
Soft heart, strong back.
Yeah, you can quote me.
But the thing with guys is we like to get from point A to point B the quickest, which is why we lack the patience.
But so it's also too realizing the difference in like the construct of women and men too. And just that like sometimes our vulnerability and our softness makes us unsafe. Like not just emotionally
Absolutely.
And mentally, but physically. Yeah. So like this ask is like,
it's so much bigger than I think men realize.
Than they realize like you literally have been in spaces where you'll hear women say like, and then all of a sudden things went left. Like, because you can't even softly nowadays, like I didn't want to give my phone number to someone recently. And somehow I went from being a literal goddess. I was a goddess
I love
to a
you.
Broke ass bitch, like Ooh, in a matter of 30 seconds,
because you wouldn't give
because I didn't want to give him my phone number. And so it's like, yeah, see, I tried to be nice and be a little softer and be like, oh, that's so sweet, but no, thank you. Okay, you broke ass bitch. Okay. And see, and this is why I go outside.
This is why I don't allow you to buy me a drink.
And like, this is why I won't let you buy me coffee. And this is why I won't let you do these things, because I think a lot of times with men, they view their associations with women as transactional. I bought you dinner, so sleep with me. I did this for you, so why are you not doing this for me? And I did this for you, and so why are you not doing this for me? And women will pick up on that, and it'll be like, well, I appreciate you. Dinner was good, but like, you're not creating safety for me.
Having no idea that for a woman to say, I'm not going to sleep with you because you bought me dinner, could be a huge growth journey for her to then be shut down. And I think that sometimes that is the thing of like, well, clearly you're not healed. Like, I've been told this before, like, well, clearly you're not healed from your like divorce if like you can't trust someone. That's not true at all.
Trust is earned. Yeah, it takes doing to earn my trust? And it's not earned in 30 days or less. And it, and also to this idea of me having, even I've come to this like in my mid-30s of realizing like no matter what a person does for me does not mean that they automatically get anything back from me physically. Yep. It does not mean that I then owe you my body, that I owe you my mind, that I owe you my heart. That is not my time. That's not how that works. And I think a lot of society, and that's not just men and women, that's just like society. Everything is transactional. I did this, so you do this. Mm-hmm. And being able to like step into your power and say, no, actually, that's not how that works. I'm not sleeping with you because I don't want to. And the idea that I possibly would have because you bought me some noodles. Like when you really start to break things down, like you're really saying that because.
And you waited till I took out my wallet to say you were going to pay.
Right.
So like,
right.
You could tell you're old when you think about this dating situation. I was having a conversation with a girl just recently that I was trying to coach out of this mindset. And I was like, damn, last time I dated, I wasn't expecting any kind of like serious physicality till like month 6. Now it's like, if you're not smashing on date 3, shit's moving slow.
But I think it's always been like that. But you also have the backdrop of
church. When you dated, you were heavy in church.
You were heavy in church. I'm like literally, I am realizing that like people have been.
I don't know if it was church. I think it was just I too have been.
I think it has gotten a bit more aggressive with all the dating.
Well, because there's so many options.
Yeah, it's like, different. I was still romanticized. Yeah. So I was still like trying to be the romantic. I was still attempting to be the guy in the rom-com. You know what I'm saying? Where I come to the relationship and I don't want anything from you. I'm not trying to smash. Like the first date that I went with Ange, I had people show up with me so that she knew I wasn't flying across the country just to smash.
I'd be so mad if you brought friends to a date.
Friends.
Well, but I would be mad if you brought friends to a date, but I get why you did it.
Leave room for the Holy Spirit.
But what? I also too am like, okay, I think I'd much rather that than, you know, like I've been on a dating app now for a month and I it's not doing good things for my mental health.
Which one
you on? Really not, you on? I'm on Hinge.
Yeah, I was on Tin. I was on Hinge.
I hate it so much.
I had a boyfriend that was from Hinge though. Well, we obviously.
I mean, I feel like it works for some people. I'm not going to say online dating is, you know, trash for everyone. But my personal experience is I'm just realizing that. And because I'm a woman dealing with men, I'm going to say men are not well. And so it's like the messages that I get, I'll sit there and I'll go, there's no way in the world if you saw me out in real life, you would have said that to my face. Like, that's just impossible. But then maybe in a sense, it's like, because you feel safety behind this keyboard, you're expressing actually who
you
really are.
Well, that's a whole conversation of keyboard warriors. Yeah. Like, on another
time.
And
what you think. But it's like this idea, this guy, we conversed enough where we exchanged numbers. And he was like, oh, let's meet up. So we, like, met up for a drink. And then, like, I thought we were doing dinner and drinks. And then the place that we went didn't have food, which was very upsetting for me because I was expecting food. So it was very upsetting for me. And so then I was like, oh, well, I'm probably going to, once we leave, I'm probably going to like grab some food. And he was like, oh, no, I just figured we'd eat at my house.
Excuse me?
And I was like, well, I'm not going to your house. Yeah. And he was like, why wouldn't you come to my house?
Immediate like, shift like that?
Immediate. Well, or first he tried to be cute. He was like, why are you think I'm a serial killer? I was like,
the fact that you're bringing that up as
yeah,
like,
well, the fact, yes, actually, Yes, I do. I am weighing whether or not you're a serial killer, amongst other things. But yeah, serial killer.
Because this
killers,
is being a woman in 2022.
This is being a woman in 2022, where like there's a line between just everyday run-of-the-mill asshole and Ted Bundy. I just don't know which one. Mm. Which
and
one
everyone
you
kept
are.
Saying everyone was attracted to Ted. So everyone the fact that I'm attracted to you is a red flag.
Exactly. And so then I was like, well, I'm just not comfortable coming to your house. And he was like, well, why? I was like, well, because I don't know you. He's like, well, we just spent an hour having drinks. I was like,
who is this fool? Bring him on the podcast. I'd like to talk to
and
him.
And I was so confused because I was like, do you feel like you know me? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, I told you nothing about myself.
Oh, no.
I was like, you don't know me. And he was like, well, I'm not like, I'm not dangerous. I was like, maybe I am. Are you not worried? Like, I don't know you. I'm not. The point is, I'm not comfortable. I'm not coming to your house. And he was like, well, that was my plan. And I was like, well, you should have run that plan by me because I could have saved you a lot of time and energy.
I also had a plan. It was that food was going to be here with the drinks. So none of us got what we wanted.
He just gets so upset. And he was like, well, then what was the whole point of meeting?
To have food.
And I was like, and I literally, and this is where my growth is, because you know I'm always ready for a clap back. And I was like, I've grown so much because I literally just said, you know what? Okay. And then I just got up and I left. And I was just like, I am not about to like go back and forth and try to convince someone or like try to pressure someone into understanding my boundaries.
Yes.
Like that is not like I've quickly learned that my boundaries are not up for debate.
Yes.
What you do with them is a you thing.
Yes.
But this is my boundary regardless. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it. But you're not getting past this. You're not getting past it. And so if I don't want to come to your house and I don't want to come to your house. And if that's an expectation that you have, then deuces.
We talked about this on like I feel like first season. Remember that guy? Oh, I almost said his name. Whoops. That guy that was in my yoga class.
Yes.
That went on a hiking date and same kind of guy. Maybe that was the date you were on.
He was the same guy.
Super short? I don't know.
No.
And that was that moment of like, okay, this is – we are not going to have a conversation here. This is not going to be a fruitful conversation. So I could keep banging my head against a brick wall or I can just leave.
Right. Because I'm also not going to let you like make me feel like I'm a problem. Like, oh, I thought we were grown and I thought we were –
We are grown. Turns out we get to make our own decisions.
Yeah.
This sounds like a nightmare, guys. I'm not lying.
It is.
Yeah, we could keep talking. Do you want some more examples? Because we have them.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Really? It is literally a nightmare. And then I'm also working through all my triggers. So I went on a date the other night. This man told me his wife died.
I love dating stories.
My first thought in my head was prove it. Like, I just, I've been through a lot.
For sure, though. For sure, though.
Is she, though? Is she dead?
Is she dead to
I
you?
Need her.
Dead and life.
Dead in life.
I had dead to you.
No cap. I had a friend that went through the same thing where she was told, no, my wife is this. Like, I don't know if it was like hurt, like, or has like some kind of disease or some kind of like crazy ass story. And she was like, whoa, you know, like felt bad. And then ends up sleeping with this dude only to get called by the wife. And it's like, you slept with my husband. Da, da, da. Wait, but you're not. And she's like, no.
You're not dead?
And I'm like, wait, this guy told you this whole story and you just.
It is terrifying.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's not even about, did you ask the right questions? Yeah, but they just lie.
They just literally people will ask me and they'll be like, oh, will you, like when they talk about my ex-fiance and they're like, there had to have been signs. You just didn't see them. You just didn't see them. And I was like, you know what? I am not above saying that there maybe were some red flags like at some point throughout our relationship. Do I view those same red flags today the same way I did then? Because now they're like bright and they're on fire because I have whole context where like, at that time, it might have just been like, I don't really like how he does that. Yeah. But could I have possibly have imagined that, like, if he pissed me off one day, that what that really meant was that name that's tattooed on his arm that he said is the name of the daughter of the guy he served in the Marines with, deployed, she got cancer during their first deployment and during their second deployment, she died from said cancer. And then everyone in the platoon got her name tattooed as like a way to honor him, was actually really, in fact, the daughter he doesn't take care of. No, I didn't see that coming.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I didn't. I didn't see that coming.
Bro, this nigga gave, wow. He gave
I have
character,
so many questions.
He gave character build, like background.
He should be a fiction writer.
I legitimately feel bad for her.
Should we get a tattoo? I don't know. Are we getting a tattoo now?
I was like, so the psychology behind a person who was like, you took your real life daughter that you don't take care of, and you gave her cancer, and you killed her. You killed her.
Red flag. Red flag. If you knew that, though, like, red flag.
Had I known that that's what was happening, yes, red flag.
Huge red flag.
Red flag. That's the Red Sea. What the hell?
So,
look,
yeah.
We
so,
can we could go on forever.
Can we? I have so many questions.
It's
but I say all that to say to your point of like,
I don't even remember my point.
To your point of like, you have to be willing to like take the time. Like, you don't know what people have been through and what they're working through. So you like, if you
so
actually
when you ask for the death certificate of the dead
when
wife,
I ask for your social security number, don't be offended. Just give it
don't
to
get
me.
Mad.
Just when I need your credit score.
And that's shit over.
Just give it to me. Bye. I'm not going shopping. I'm just confirming you are who you say you are.
Maybe that story would give them context, though, just for the record next time.
But that's a lot to lead
that's
with.
That's a lot to lead that's with. That's a fucking...
You're away.
So what do you do?
When do you bring that up?
If I heard that, I was like, wait, do you write scripts? Because this shit sounds like a movie.
Which is honestly like a hard part of me getting back out there, because like at some point, you know, people say, oh, so tell me about your last relationship. And then I just look like a deer in headlights, because I'm like, one, I'm not ready yet to really divulge and like go into that. Whoa. So now I just land it like, oh, well, I was engaged and it didn't work out.
Because
it's much easier for that.
He had
that.
A dead
until,
wife he made up.
Until you get to the point where you are comfortable going over to the house for dinner.
Right.
And
well, because
this...
like in a sense too, like that's a traumatic event for me. So for me to communicate, and to your point of like building safety, right? To communicate my traumatic event, anytime anyone re-communicates trauma, you are re-traumatizing yourself, which then creates a space of vulnerability, which then means that like I need to feel safe here to do that. Because I don't know what you're going to do with it. Am I going to tell this whole story? And you're like,
exactly.
Well, you're stupid.
Right.
You're
are you
going to
walk
better?
Away?
Like,
or is it
or
gonna
are you going to take
the
information?
For the, yeah, thanks for
then,
the blueprint.
Right. Oh, is that what I got to do?
Okay. So you can be fooled.
I was deployed this one time. Right.
Oh, my gosh. Dating. You guys, I feel like we can talk forever about
that
this.
That is the podcast
this
I want to do, though.
Which one?
The when do you bring up certain conversations?
Wait, didn't we do that one already?
I swear we didn't. Ange wants to be here for that one, remember?
Okay. We will do that one.
We
hope you guys enjoyed this episode because I no, for
there's,
real,
there's,
I, there's
so
much, so
much
good
stuff
in here.
So much good stuff on this pod.
No doubt for women, but also for men if you hear this to understand, especially if you're a single dude, to understand the plight of the modern day woman and what she's wrestling with. And I'm like, man, how am I going to make promo videos for this? This is so much good stuff.
Well, I think you're just going to just make t-shirts that say, don't be a nester.
Yeah. Like, don't be a nester.
This
don't
is
be,
it.
Don't be a nester. And
don't be a nester.
And what's your that's
what's
that's
your
one,
social security
what's
number?
What's your SSN?
What's your SSN?
Question mark.
Don't be alarmed.
It's coming.
Just give me your SSN. I'll figure out the rest.
Oh, or we could come up with like, how about you coming to my house, Esther?
Wait, why don't you want to come over?
Why don't you want to come over, Esther?
Oh my God, help us. Help us, Lord. Thanks for being a part of this. If you like what you heard, everybody's socials will be in the little description area so you can follow. Follow Paigey, follow all of us, subscribe where you are listening to.
Smash that subscribe button.
Smash it.
And definitely share this to somebody who needs to hear these messages. I think I'm going to make this a two-part thing.
I think, yeah.
I think, I mean, we talked enough to make it a two-part thing. So if you stayed this long on this part two, we appreciate you. We love you. And like we always say, we pray you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours.
Cheers.